Welcome to another edition of Jedi and Germs on the Jazz, a weekly podcast brought to you by TornbySports.com. Torn by Sports, local teams, local coverage, real fans. I'm Alan Zog, the Jedi, and he's John English, the Germs guy. John, how are you?
I am great on this fine evening as co-host of the Chappie Award-winning podcast.
Yes. Yes, the Chappie Award-winning. We're going to have to find some intro music to go with that. For those who listen to us that don't know what the Chappie Awards, John, just briefly give our listeners what the Chappie Awards are.
Well, the Chappie Awards are a fake Twitter award show that Dustin Chapman started up a few years ago. And so every year he'll give, 20 or 30 Chappie Awards to whoever he feels like it. But he follows over 1,600 people, so in a way, it still feels like it's a real thing. So I'm very proud to be the Chappie winner this year for best upcoming podcast.
Yes.
Up and coming.
Yep. I'm in agreeance there. It was quite, for me, the award didn't matter so much as listening to Dustin, you know, tell everybody that we won it and then talk about the fact.
Well, you've won before, though. So,
well, no,
like
I haven't won.
You did.
No, I was runner up. That's not winner.
Oh, you were runner up. I thought you won last year.
No, I was the runner up Jazz fan.
I'm sitting here thinking this is old hat for you.
No, I'm not so lucky.
Whereas, you know, for me and Devin, this is the first time that's validated every life choice we've made. But
you really,
you know, if it's your first time too, great.
It was, but you're really digging deep when you bring Devin into this, because Devin has his own thorn in his side over this Chappie Award.
Look, I'm gonna let you finish, but Jedi and Germs has one of the best producers of all time.
Of all time.
This
is
true.
I'm an artist. I'm a warrior. I'm a barbarian, but with integrity.
No, in all seriousness, we owe our thanks to Twitter, but also to Dustin, who, like I said, when he announced that we won it, mentioned the fact, made it seem very much so that he's listened to us. And you know what? I appreciate it. We appreciate it a lot. The people who listen enjoy us. So, all right, Chappie's out of the way. Let's jump into
it. Give him something worth listening to.
Yes. Enough of us rambling on about awards. No more awards talk. Let's jump right into it. You wanted to talk about the Jazz defense.
Number one in the NBA since February 1st. They didn't have Gordon Hayward against the Knicks last night, and yet their stellar defense still helped them overcome their atrocious offense. So they're getting national notice. I mean, you'll see it picked up on ESPN and SI and those places. Everyone's, you know, really noticing that the Jazz are a legitimate team. I tweeted this out earlier too. If you just look at the second half of the season, the Jazz are 13-9. In fact, I was looking at since February 1st for other reasons, but just record-wise, the Jazz are the fifth best team in the West since February 1st. So, you know, if it hadn't been for the real growing pains of the first 6 weeks of the season, this would be a legitimate playoff team right now.
And well, and let's go one step further here, John, because if we go back to December, the Jazz were, I believe at the time, 27th in the NBA in points per game allowed. And right now they are number one in the NBA on the season in points per game allowed. I just looked that up today.
Yeah.
So they're they've made a significant change since December. And you mentioned their record. The other record I noticed is everybody can go back to early part of December when the Jazz had lost, what, 9 in a row, I think. They were 6-19 since December 17th when they were 6-19. They've gone 21-17 over that stretch. That's better than 500 ball.
Yeah, and you know, the way the West is going, if they could have been playing like that all year, they would be right in the hunt. I mean, right now, year number 18 is the 36-29 Pelicans.
Yeah.
And then you've got the Thunder, who just fell to 35-29. They're half game out. You have Phoenix, which is just kind of been tumbling. They were looking strong early, but now they're only 33-32. So they're five games ahead of the Jazz, but you look at the trajectory of both teams, I think Jazz could quite easily finish the season with a better record than the Suns.
I would agree. There's 19 games left. And I was looking at those 19 games, and I believe 11 of those 19 are against playoff contending teams. So that means, or did I get that backwards? Gosh, I wrote it down on my email today. I made a note of it.
No, that sounds right, because I was looking at it today, and I was figuring that the Jazz should win a minimum of 8 games remaining.
I think they're going to win more than that.
But that's the minimum. Yeah. They should win at least 8.
Yep.
Okay.
They should. I mean, they have the Rockets tomorrow night, and they could win that game. Rockets are kind of up and down. I could see them winning it. I mean, the way the Jazz are playing defense, they could beat anybody. And let's just go ahead and say they beat the Rockets. If Gordon Hayward's not back, then maybe they don't beat the Rockets. But after that, they have the Pistons, who have been awful since they made that trade. They have the Hornets, who have been in free fall. They have the Wizards, who have been in free fall. Then they're on the road against the Lakers, and they'll want some revenge for taking a nap during their last game. Then you have the Warriors, which they probably lose. Then they have the Timberwolves at home, should win. Then they have the Blazers, who are weaker now that Wesley Matthews is out for the year. So since it's a home game, you know, that's winnable. On the road against Denver, very winnable. Home against the Thunder, that'll be a fun game. And it's Cantor coming home in a Thunder uniform.
That could be interesting.
You still got the T-Wolves again. You got the Nuggets again. You got Suns. You got the Kings twice, who I'm surprised have not improved under George Karl. They're still sucking.
You have Denver
maybe
twice.
Not quite as, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
Denver twice, Kings twice, T-Wolves twice. You still got these bad Eastern Conference teams to get out of the way. And even like Dallas hasn't been doing very well lately. That they could win that game. I mean, they could go on this weird late season push to, you know, end up 9th or 10th. But it's still fun to watch them get the winning ways now. Give them a taste of what it's like to win now, so they can really have that trajectory for next year.
Yeah, well, definitely. And I looked at the last part of the season, the last week and a half. It's kind of tough for them. I said brutal in the past, but after I looked at it, I don't know. But of the 19 games remaining, like I said, they had 10 playoff teams they play against, one of those being Charlotte. That should be, I mean, that's here at home. Jazz should win that game. But you look at it, of their final home games, or of their final road games, three of those are against playoff teams. So the Jazz are getting the majority of their playoff games at home. Teams that are in the playoffs are coming to Salt Lake. That's, you know, right now they're sitting at 14-16 at home. I see them winning, you know, getting over the 500 mark at home, and they're 13-20 on the road. I mean, that's not bad numbers. And you're right. They could get on a streak and ending the season. Suddenly they're, you know, 15-4, 14-5 or something like that to end the season. That's not a bad run.
Well, if you look at it this way, they're 8-2 since the All-Star break, and their two losses were both games they should have won where the Jazz just came out sluggish. They had a 3-point loss against the Lakers, and they had a 1-point loss against the Celtics. And so those easily could have been wins. They could easily be on a 10-game win streak right now.
Right.
Which makes those two losses frustrating, but...
Yes, it does.
You know, they're grinding everybody down. They've only scored 100 points in the last... Once in the past, what, 10 games, 12 games?
Right.
And they've only allowed 100 points in that same span. So while their offense is down, but their defense is so much better that it's actually just fine that their offense is down.
Right. And they're only, I think they're only allowing, what, 89 a game is the average right now, or is it less than that?
Yeah, that 100 points they allowed against the Lakers, that's the only time anyone has scored above, where's the next one? 88. In those other nine games, no one has scored more than 88 against the Jazz.
There you have
it. That one brain fart against the Lakers.
Yep, there you have it. And the Jazz will be tested. They've got one more game at Golden State. They've got this Houston game tomorrow night against teams that can score. I want to see if they can hold these guys down below the 100, below the century mark. It would be very interesting to me if they do. And if they do, they have a very good chance of being in every single one of these games.
Yeah, there are teams that are supposed to have good offenses that can't get going against the Jazz. I mean, the Spurs have a pretty decent offense. They can only put up 81 points.
Right.
Blazers have a good offense. They can only put up 76 points. I mean, there's all kinds of, you know, teams that are struggling.
Yeah. Agreed. So let's talk about scoring a bit. In fact, I think your next point that we wanted to talk about tonight was Rodney Hood in specific.
Yeah, Rodney hasn't really had a chance to have a rookie season. He's been in and out, up and down. But I caught tip-off this morning where Locke said that he's been averaging 8 points a game since he came back.
Right.
And he has started to provide what the Jazz have needed for a while, and that's that consistent outside shooting threat. He's not as consistent yet, but he's getting more confident. He's 5 of his last 12, or let's see, 5 of his last 13 three-point shots. So that's not great, but I have more confidence with every game that Rodney's stuff's going to go down. And, you know, they need someone besides Hayward who can hit threes. So I'm really pleased with that progress. And against the Knicks last night when there was no Gordon Hayward, I really liked leadership he showed in the second half, where there was a stretch there where he looked like he was taking it upon himself to win the game and wound up scoring 17 points.
You know, his shot is one of those just, I like watching it because, you know, when he misses, it's a bad miss. You know, like last night, I think he airballed one of his threes, didn't he? I'm trying to remember. I thought he did. But when he makes it, holy crap, that thing is just to knock him down. I mean, it's off the off that inside backside of the rim that just drops in every single time. And he's not one of those guys that you just freak out when he takes that shot because you almost expect it to go in every time.
Yeah.
Not only that, the thing I've been impressed with is, yeah, he's a knockdown shooter from the outside, but he's actually been really good at creating his own shot when he's put in an isolation situation. There's been a few times I've seen him start to cut to the basket and just knocks down a shot right around the free throw line, which is something that the Jazz don't seem to have a lot of outside of, you know, Hayward and maybe Trey Burke in terms of creating their own that way.
Yeah,
and it's no surprise he's a good defender because when he was at Duke with Jabari Parker was their scorer, and Rodney Hood was the one who did everything else to get them their wins. So he's a versatile guy. He's got that all around game, and it's nice to see all those starting to come together.
The one thing I like about him on the defensive end, he's the one guy that in training camp and even back when the Jazz had their press conference after they drafted him, the very first thing he said was, I know the one area of my game that needs help is defense, and I intend on becoming the best defender that I can at the game. And you can watch that he's taken on what Quinn's done with him, and he makes a conscious effort to defend and be there and get out on guys and get in guys' faces. He's not a great defender. He's, but you can see that he's making a conscious effort to be better.
Yeah. I think he will get better. And, you know, he's a rotation player and the best defense in the NBA. So
There you go.
He's doing something right, and he's got more of a well-rounded game that Dunley developed. Like, I look at Elijah Millsap, who is the best perimeter defender right now, but his offensive game is so inconsistent that you can't play him too many minutes. I'm just kind of looking at Elijah's stats right now. But, and I'm glad they've locked up Elijah for 3 years, but I see Hood is more of a long-term solution for them.
Yeah.
And I expect him to, between the two of them, be the one who ultimately wins out in minutes there.
Let me throw out this question to you. I was listening to Salt City Hoops show earlier today, their podcast, from last week, and they talked about Elijah Millsap and Joe Ingles. Okay, so here's these three guys. All three of them are rookies. Ingles and Millsap are the older veteran rookies, if you want to call them that. It's almost like an oxymoron, but it's true. So long term, the Jazz have locked up Elijah for 3 years. You've got Hood on his rookie contract that you're likely to see the Jazz lock up long term eventually. It seems like to me the odd man out of this group going forward might be Joe Ingles.
Yeah, Joe's a free agent. I'm pretty sure they didn't extend anything when they picked him up. In fact, I'll just kind of pull that up on the side. But between the three of them, yeah, I can see them. I think Joe would like to stay. We're the ones who finally gave him a chance. But, there'll probably be some other teams who will be interested in that.
The interesting...
He's a glue guy type player.
Yeah, he is.
He does all the little things. He's a very unselfish player. And so I could see him getting looks. Yeah, he's not locked up or anything. So he's a complete... He's unrestricted this summer. He's going to be one where the Jazz are going to make some moves and make some signings. And if he's still available, a month or so later, then they'll probably see if they can't work out a deal. But I see other things being their priority before they figure out if they're bringing Joe back or not.
Yeah. And that was the interesting thing I heard when I listened to their show, is that they were talking about Elijah is... I think has been averaging 5 more minutes per game, I think, over the last, I don't know how long they mentioned, than Joe Ingles. It seems like Joe Ingles' minutes are starting to waver just a little bit in favor of Elijah. And to your point you made a minute ago, there's a reason why that's happening. So I would love to see Joe back, because he's a rookie, but he doesn't play like he does. He's got a veteran mentality about him, and you can see it when he's out on the court that he does, and he just goes out and does what he's asked. But no, I would have to agree with you. I'm not sure the Jazz will find room to keep him for the long term, or much less more than past this summer.
Well, he's a great locker room guy, and it really just depends on everything else they're doing. I mean, if they wind up drafting a wing this summer, or... more likely they trade that pick and something else for another big piece. If that big piece is a wing and you still have Elijah and Rodney, it's nice to have Joe too, but I just don't see him as that bigger priority. And the Jazz are just, they're looking at a ton of guys. They're up to like 22 guys who've been on the roster this year. Well, if you count Kendrick Perkins, which I don't.
There
are like 21 of guys who played a minute, at least a minute on the Jazz.
Right.
And you've still got Grant Jarrett, and I have no idea what he is. They have a team option for him, but if we don't see anything else out of him, I wonder if they're just going to go ahead and let that expire.
Well, they just put him down to the D League like yesterday, didn't they?
Yeah, they put him down there, and they brought up Jarrell Benamon. I think he stepped on the court, but I wasn't watching the game if he at the point where he would have stepped on the court.
I don't remember.
It says he got 2 minutes in, got 3 rebounds. So he saw time in there somewhere. I have no opinions.
He snuck in there. You blinked your eyes. He was back out. We didn't just see him. We just didn't see him. He was, you know.
I saw him. I don't know what he did, though.
You sure you were? Never mind. Never mind.
I don't know, man. We had Jack Cooley, and he made 100% of his shots on the jab, and we let him go anyway.
Max contract.
Who knows what they're looking for?
Was he 1 for 1?
2 for 2.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah,
2 for 2.
He came in like the last minute and a half of the game and made both his shots.
Go get him, Jack. Go get him, Jack Cooley. Somebody out there loves you. Oh. So I'm curious on your thoughts. I have my opinions, but where do the Jazz go forward? I mean, there's lots of thoughts going forward into the future. They don't have a go-to scorer.
They have Gordon Hayward, and he's pretty much getting there. I mean, he's one of the best in the NBA at getting to the free throw line. He scores about 20 points a game. So, and you can expect that there'll be a little bit of more improvement again next year. So they have their guy, but you got to have more than that. I mean,
what's your thoughts on developing? Go ahead. Sorry.
Well, I was just going to say, you can expect more improvement from Hayward, more improvement from Favors, more improvement from Gobert, more improvement from pretty much everybody. It's just a matter of how quickly are they going to improve. I mean, I would think Hayward and Favors are going to improve at about the pace they've been improving over the past few years. Gobert's been great. He's just had this giant leap forward. I expect when Alec Burks comes back, he'll be a little bit better next year than he was this year. Dante, I expect to make a leap. Even if it's half the leap Rudy made between year one and two, Jazz will be ecstatic. He's already a really good defender. They just need to get more confidence in his offensive game. Trey's going to be going into his third year, and you know, I'm sure he'll be working on his shooting, and who knows what kind of leaps he'll make. He's become a decent defender as of late. I mean, early in the season, he was a real liability on defense, but now with Rudy and Favors back there, he's got a lot more confidence to play closer, and so he isn't hurting guys. And if you look at the guard play of the teams that played the past 112 games, it's not just Dante, but the time Trey's on guys, we haven't had a guard be able to go off on the Jazz in a long time.
No, that's true. No, and that's the thing. Everybody wants to give so much credit to Gobert for where this Jazz is, where the defense is. But, man, Quinn has got all of these guys collectively playing defense. I mean, Gobert is valuable, but to put Gobert as the single most important reason the defense is better, I think everybody's forgetting what steps every other player is making. You mentioned Trey. Trey's made leaps and bounds, I think, on defense. I just from what I've seen, you have Hayward. Hayward's been a good defender. Favors seems to get more aggressive, and when he gets more aggressive, both offensively and defensively, good things happen. But you're just seeing all around the defense get better. I think your best perimeter defender, like you said, is Millsap. You've got Gobert as your best centerpiece down low, but everybody seems to have lifted their play of defense. And that's what happens when you have the number one defense in the NBA, is you have guys that are working as a team.
So let's just look at the next week. Let's look at the home games. We've got 4 home games ahead. In fact, we're in a 5-game stretch. So they won the first one. What do you think the end of the five-game home stretch, the record's going to be?
The real excitedly optimistic me says 5-0. The realistic Jazz will drop one somewhere says 4-1. I don't think the Jazz will do any worse than 4-1 during that stretch.
Yeah, I don't think they will. I don't think they should. But when you have James Harden, I just can't get too cocky about anything. It doesn't seem to matter if Dwight's playing or not. In fact, as I look at Houston, they've actually been playing quite well as of late. They've won 7 of their last 9, and the 2 losses were against the Hawks and Grizzlies.
2 elite teams.
Odds don't look great on that.
No.
Houston game, although it will be the second night of a back-to-back for them on the road.
And they're in L.A. tonight. Aren't they? No, Houston's not in L.A. Where are they tonight?
They're in Portland
tonight. They're Portland.
Portland. They're still on the West Coast. Doesn't matter. It's the late game. Yeah. They're going to get back into, they're going to get into town here at 2 o'clock in the morning. They're going to be dog tired. So it would be the Jazz's benefit to push the ball against them.
To me, that game comes down to if Hayward plays. If Hayward plays, I think the Jazz have a real chance. If he doesn't play, move on to the next game.
Exactly.
Yeah, if Hayward can't play, then it's an automatic loss. If Hayward can play, and maybe the Rockets are tired, they don't have Dwight. You never know if Josh Smith could just single-handedly sabotage a game. So, maybe.
And see, that's the one concern that I have about the Rockets too. I think this is a good test for the new look Jazz defense, because the Rockets have bigs that can stretch the floor. Josh Smith, don't they still have Perry Jones?
Well, they're thrilled to let Josh Smith shoot his threes, but Perry Jones. They have Donatas Montiunas, who's been coming on lately as a good outside shooter.
Very good outside shooter.
Fact, look at that guy. He was actually a former draft pick.
If I remember correctly, he was the guy that killed us in Salt Lake the last time they played here against us. He was one of the killers in the third or fourth quarter, because the Cantor just, that was the one thing I kept grumbling during that game, because Cantor left him wide open on many occasions where he just was a knockdown 3-point shooter.
Well, he's shooting 36.6% from 3 this year. In the previous 2 years, he was below 30%.
That's a pretty good jump.
It's been part of his game that he's consciously worked on.
It'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, he's had quite a leap. I'm just looking at him. He was averaging 5 points a game his first 2 years. Now he's averaging 11.7.
Wow.
And some of that's with minutes, but he's earned it,
I'll be interested to see their game plan, because, you want to beat the Jazz defense. One of the pieces you have to take out of the picture is Rudy Gobert. And, that might be the Achilles heel, is to get a couple of those guys out there shooting some 3-point shots, stretching the floor, bringing Rudy Gobert out of the middle and letting Harden do his work.
Well, who's going to be out there, though? It's going to be Montiunas, who will play outside, and Terrence Jones is more of their 3. Who would be their center? I think Montiunas would be their center. I mean, he's 7 feet, but he's not really. He plays like a power forward.
Who's their starting center?
He plays like a Dirk. Well, Dwight Howard's their starting center, but he's not playing right now.
Yeah, I was going to say he's not playing. So,
Mike. Internet just froze. Unfreeze and get me back to the Houston page.
I'll see if I can bring it up too.
Just on it. Okay. All right. Let me grab the box score. It looks like Montiunas was the starting center. Terrence Jones was starting power forward. And then you had your 1-2-3 was Beverly, Harden, and Ariza. Ariza is a good defender, and he's a good versatile player. You never know when he's going to really do some damage against you.
Well, and that's another guy who can shoot it from outside.
They need Hayward.
Yeah, they do. They do. And the perimeter defense of the Jazz is going to be tested in this game. Because like I said, every last one of those guys we've just mentioned can hit from downtown.
Yeah, you're going to have a lot of Harden walking up the ball, trying to get the other guys involved. And then him just doing his thing where he
draws fouls and does a lot of late game heroics and keeps reminding people that he's in the MVP race.
Which I really hate. I really hate that. Don't get me, that's my soapbox that I'm not going to climb on.
Tell us how you really feel.
You don't like Harden?
I'm not a Harden fan. And this goes back to when he played at Arizona State. And I remember the Cougars matching up against him. He was a very good player in college and obviously very good in the NBA. And there's a reason he's in the MVP talk, but I have my personal dislike issues with James Harden. And part of it has to do with his game just isn't that much fun to watch, honestly.
Yeah, I guess I can't really call it fun. You know, the Jazz came really close to trading for him.
I know.
What would you have done?
I don't know. You know, part of the other reason, too, is the fact that he gets so many calls. The guy goes to the line. Back when he was in Oklahoma City, too. I mean, the guy goes to the line an ungodly amount of times. He just shouldn't. I'm sorry. There's just plenty of those calls that I think just don't need to be made.
Yeah, there are players who do that. There are players who specialize in it. And that's what I always hated about Kobe is it seemed like anytime he'd drive in, didn't matter. He missed a shot, someone fouled him.
Yep. So, I don't know. We'll see.
I mean, there's the league leaders.
Anytime Harden can lose, I'm happy with that.
There, let me just piss you off here. free throw attempts. Free throws and free throw attempts. James Harden, by far, leads the league.
Let me guess. He's averaging 10.
I'm just looking at totals. His total free throw attempts so far this year is 599. The next closest is Russell Westbrook at 450.
Oh, my gosh.
That's like, he's like 25% more than the second next leader.
How many does Dante have? Is he in the leading category?
Really? Really? You're bringing Dante into this? Really?
I'm kidding.
It only has the top five. It doesn't have the top 300. I can't really look that up quickly.
Dante's more like the bottom five, dude.
I know.
Wow. Devin, that wasn't funny.
Oh, didn't we talk about that last week where he hadn't taken a free throw in like a month?
Yes. It's been the talk of the town. I mean, he's, yeah. But that's, okay, 500, you said 599 for Harden?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
So that's what, 11 a game, something like that?
Yeah, that's about right, because
we're
game 63 right now, I think. So it's pretty close to 10 or 11 a game. That's not right.
By the way, just a reminder for people, Dante did have two free throws against Philadelphia.
Cue clapping, cheering, excitement. There you go.
Yeah, and before that, you have to go to January 10th.
Ouch.
But it's an insanely small amount of free throws.
Yes. Yes, it is. Oh, boy. All right, so that covers all of our topics tonight. Before we go any further, you texted me earlier about some things you were asking me if I wanted to watch. I sensed you wanted to talk about some stuff tonight.
Well, you know, we get to the end, we can talk some pop culture, but you're like not watching any of the hit TV shows.
All right, throw me under the bus.
I mean, I could talk about Walking Dead or Better Call Saul or Justified or House of Cards or anything. You watching any of those?
You know,
Game of Thrones starts next month.
What does?
Game of Thrones. Do you watch that?
I have not watched that. But
you're killing me. Holy cow.
hey, because of you, though, I did start House of Cards today. I'm one episode in.
So this summer, when you're all cut up, then we can set aside some time and talk about it. I'm about halfway through this third season.
I'm going to get caught up before then. Don't give me till summer. Although maybe I should save it, because when we don't have jazz to talk about in the summertime, I guess this will be our conversations about, you know, binge watching things on Netflix.
Exactly. You got to spread out. We can talk more about the presidential race heating up and what summer movies you're watching. You know, I never watch baseball, so I can't talk about that.
Nope. We could give some love to RSL, but
I think you guys should talk about jazz music in the summer.
Jazz music?
Yeah.
Oh, you're gonna
this is where a producer should drop in some 5-second jazz beat right here.
Okay, so
let me just add work.
you're gonna throw me under the bus for all the shows I haven't seen. I'm gonna throw some your way, and I still bet you haven't seen them. The Blacklist.
Yeah, I started re-recording that because my wife started catching up on season one, and I had only watched the first like 4 episodes, but now I'm thinking I had to pick it back up.
You need to, because season one was fantastic, and Devin can jump in on this one too because he likes it. But season one was phenomenal. Season two getting even better. So, and the special guests are kind of fun too. They brought Ron Perlman in at the beginning of this season. So before we finally wrap this up, I've got to take a minute and give a special thanks and shout out to the fellows over at Podcast 66. That's on Twitter at Podcast 66. They give us support. They mentioned us on our recent episode. They even follow our show on Twitter. Dan and Ryan, they're great guys. They love Star Wars, and they're both big, big sports fans. So, for those of us listening here, it's Star Wars fans, sports fans, doesn't matter. Give these guys a follow over on Twitter. It's at Podcast 66. Those fellows are great. You won't be disappointed. So I just had to take a minute to give them a shout out for and thank them for their support and their love recently. So, but that should wrap it up. Let's wrap up this week's episode of the Jedi and Germs show. You can find us out on Twitter at Jedi and Germs, at Jedi Zog, and John at Germs Guy. You can download us on iTunes, Stitcher. Leave us reviews. We love reviews. And we love stars and all of those other fun things. And as always, we want to give a thanks to our producer, the best producer on the planet, at Torn by Devin, Devin Masters. Thank you all for listening. May the Force be with you. John, take us out.
We'd like to thank you for all you do and all you think and all you think you do.
Well done.